afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Friday, June 3rd, 2022. Now, this is when I normally say, hey, Butch, how are you? But we're connecting with him as he was having some sort of a microphone situation, and we're going to be connecting to him by telephone. So with that said, we can go ahead and begin the market report. And are you there, Butch?
I'm right here.
All right. You're getting a little bit louder.
Well, good. Well, I'm on the phone now. I'm sorry about the mic. I don't know what happened, but we're on the phone for a little bit.
All right. There you go. I was just going ahead, and it is Happy Donut Day.
It is.
It is. And if you go to Dunkin' Donuts.
I didn't get my donut.
If you go to Dunkin' Donuts, they'll give you a free donut.
We don't have any around here, so I guess I'm going to do it.
Darn.
I know.
Well,
it's sad. It's just...
Gold didn't appreciate Donut Day. Took a hit today, $17.60 at 18.52. Silver was down 42 cents at 21.94. Platinum was down 13 at 1,018. And palladium was down 84 at 2,056. Of course, the USDX was stronger by 0.40 at 102.15. Crude oil was up 350 at 120.39. So, thank you, Saudis, for pumping up production. And they're going to pump it up for, what, 2 months? We'll talk about that a little bit later on, or at least through August or something silly like that. Like, oh, yeah, that's really going to make a lot of difference instead of this administration just using what we have and trying to, you know, fix our problem by ourselves, but we have to go begging to other countries. We have to go beg to Venezuela. We have to go begging to Iran for oil. Now, I mean, maybe not Iran yet, but I'm sure that's in the cards. I mean, they're trying to make a deal with them. That didn't go too well. But, Butch, it just amazes me.
It disgusts me. It makes me disgusted with them.
Absolutely. I mean, they got oil in their backyard, but they'd rather travel around the world to get it. It's just like...
Well, they can keep more control over us if they get it from somewhere else. I mean, that makes us more dependent on the world, which is what they want to be, obviously. I mean, let's face it, that they did on purpose. That we're pretty much oil independent when Trump was in, but that's changed since he's out.
And so it's just like, you know, what is wrong with these people? Anyway, the Dow... It was opened up stronger, but reversed itself down just a tad over 1%, 32,899. The S&P was down 1.63%, 4,108. The NASDAQ was down 2.5%, 304 points, 12,012. And the Asian markets, Hang Seng was lower. Europe was all negative across the board. Most of them, two of them were down. The FTSE was down 1%. 10-year yield, 2.94%. That's positive today, 2.946%. So, you know, there's a lot of... headline news out there. You had the job report, the U.S. added 390,000 jobs in May. Headline reads, robust. Robust. Hiring is robust. And But it was actually lower than what it was last month. So maybe it's just not as robust as what they want us to believe. And you know, so it's just the typical BS Construction companies added 36,000 jobs. Retail, shed, they lost 61,000 positions. Remember we saw from the big box stores like Walmart and Target, they reported disappointing sales and earnings, and Walmart said it had overhired and then reduced its headcount. Like, okay. And so let's see, if the shipping and warehousing companies, they're still struggling to keep up with the online commerce, added 47,000 jobs, and of course heading into the summer vacation, holiday time, your restaurants also increased significantly. So there wasn't a whole bunch of a lot of information in that. You know, it's the same old, same old. U.S. service sector growth, that slowed again in May. That was from the ISM survey. Some hedge funds faced steep losses after betting on hot sectors. Hedge fund investors are bracing for a river of red ink as firms begin reporting returns for May, when the stock market hovered near bear territory on disappointing earnings and worries about aggressive rate hikes. Data from hedge fund research shows HFRX Global Hedge Fund Index slipped 1% in May, leaving it down 3.3% for the first 5 months of 2022. So, you know, this information goes on. And there was one thing I did want to bring up, Butch, before you come in, is I saw this headline, and Luna crash sends a chill through decentralized finance market. So all of this tech currency, all of this cryptocurrency, and they created programs and basically decentralized finance, you know, those NFTs and everything else, I guess, to bypass banks. I mean, it's like, who are these people and who are involved with them? I mean, so traders that are beginning to shift away from these investments that are linked to this decentralized finance. And in the latest sign of how the $40 billion collapse of cryptocurrency Luna has sent shockwaves through a key portion of the digital asset market, Ether, the world's second biggest crypto token and a proxy for sentiment on the $100 billion DeFi market, has shed more than a third of its value over just the past month. Its fall is significantly more severe than the 23% decline for Bitcoin. And so, you know, they just thought this DeFi was to be promising, a very promising innovation in the digital asset industry. However, the failure last month of Luna and its linked stablecoin Terra USD highlighted the risks of investing in these projects and the potential for catastrophic flaws in the design of programs that undermine their operations. Why would you even... I mean, this is, it's like, how is the SEC or anybody allowing this to be created? I mean, it's stable coins act as lubricants of transactions in DeFi market. And the wipeout of Terra was seen as a particularly strong blow to confidence in the sector. Terra, okay, now get this. I remember talking about this, was designed to match the value of the U.S. dollar through a financial relationship with sister token Luna. What planet are we on? You know, they're not going to link some kind of Terra was designed to match the value, but it's not connected to anything. So how can it maintain even the value of the U.S. dollar, which has lost, what, 95-99% of its value? It has no value. So why would you want to attach to something that doesn't have a value to it to begin with? But And so I just found that really interesting that I don't think we really even begin to see what this, what these cryptos and all of these different programs that were created far from a bottom, far, far.
Well, we'll discuss in a minute. Some of the banks are saying they can't go digital. It would be a disaster, but we'll discuss in a minute why they're saying that.
Well, I've been saying that for a long time. Governments are not going to go digital. They're not going to have something to compete with their fiats. I think if they do digital, the whole system has to collapse first. You know, then
That could happen. That could happen. Maybe that's why they're calling it the Great Reset.
You know, so, and there was just a couple of things in this article that goes on a little more. It's a very good article. But some of the key words that, you know, I mean, supposedly they were supposed to have this crypto backed. They claimed it was backed by hard assets. Claim. That means there was never any audits or any proof. But you could trade derivatives on the, I mean, you could do a ton of things on these decentralized, on this decentralized banking. And, you know, there's a lot of articles out there about a couple months ago about, you know, this is just a huge target for fraud, hackers and scammers. And it's like, that's all we heard about for so long was how great the crypto market was. And they said there was actually thousands of cryptocurrencies out there. Thousands. I had no idea that there was that many, Butch.
Well, you know, you remember back when we went to, when we went to the Euro in Europe, everybody said that's going to be a wonderful thing. All the nations united under one currency, and one, you know, and look what a failure that's been. I mean, countries are wanting out of it now. I mean, you can't have an economy built on air. It won't last. You got to have a foundation for it, something worth value that's backed what you use for medium of exchange. And we haven't had this country since 1964. Look where we're headed. I mean, so this, it won't work. And crypto is less than a dollar because at least a dollar is tangible. You can hold in your hand. You know, so this is where we are today.
Well, I believe the euro was actually a test, because the reason they went to the euro was because they could have open borders and people could, you know, commute to all these countries and, you know, have a single currency. There was a couple of countries who still used their own, but not many. Most of them did use the UK used their own. And I think when we were in Portugal, they used their own. So there are some that still use their own currency, not many. The majority of them, probably 99% of them, is the euro. But that's why, and I do believe it was a test. So it really was probably the first. The U.S. dollar might be the world's reserve currency, but maybe the euro was the first global currency.
That could very well be.
Mm-hmm.
Very well could be.
Another trial run.
Another trial run. That's what that was. Was to see if it worked. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been trying. I guess eventually, in order to get what they want, they have to figure something out that's going to link us all together. And I don't know how that's going to be. But the world is collapsing into their lap, so to speak. Everybody's having a hard time with a lot of different situations, and they're begging for an answer. So we'll see what happens real soon. I do believe.
I think so too.
We talk about inflation and things here. Now, I know this doesn't seem possible to us in this country yet, but Turkey has been getting hammered. Turkey's inflation rate right now is 73.5%, Melody. That is unimaginable. Turkey's inflation climbed its highest level since 1988, hitting 73.5% in May. Official data showed Friday an issue dogging President Recep Tayyip Erdogan ahead of elections next year. Critics have blamed the country's economic woes on Erdogan's unorthodox economy policy, pushing for lower interest rates to combat price raises. Now listen to this. The central bank refused again last week to raise its main rate, keeping it at 14%. Wouldn't you say that's pretty high already?
You think?
14%? And it's still going under? Folks, that's because they have no money. They have currency, and you can't prop it up for so long. Soaring food prices and energy prices pushed inflation even higher last month. Transport prices jumped to 107.6% in May, while food was up 91.6%. They paid $2 a loaf of bread in April. They paid $4 in May. Think about that. And their interest rate is 14%. Wow. But that can never happen here. We're safe. We're Americans.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, you talk about gold sales, and I've had time to do this. Demand for American gold eagles explodes. You probably know this, but I'll just read it because I think it's interesting. The mint sold 147,000 ounces of American gold eagles in varying denominations, totaling 200,500 coins. That was a 67% increase from March. That's huge. So far this year, the U.S. Mint has minted 661,500 ounces of American Eagles. For the year, gold bullion demand was up a staggering 617%, people. That's huge. When you factor out COVID-19-related sales disruptions, bullion sales were up 400% over the five-year average between 2015 and 2019. A market strategist told Kitco News that the surge in demand for physical metal reflects growing investor anxiety bubbling under the surface. Bullion sales better reflect the anxiety investors are feeling right now. When you hear economists talk about a recession, it starts to make sense why bullion sales are so strong. Gold will always be a long-term store of value. I think I've heard that said somewhere before. I do believe. I don't think it's going to be a mild recession. This is Peter Schiff. I think this recession is going to be the worst than the Great Recession that started following the 2008 financial crisis. The mainstream media doesn't seem to have picked up on this yet, but the demand for physical gold may indicate that at least some people are beginning to worry. Yeah, no duh. Absolutely. So, folks, again, Melly's been telling you for a long time, gold and silver are the place to try to protect your assets. You do need to give her a call because I just read to you that what the sales figures are. They're going up, which means price is eventually going to go through the roof. You better get it while they're playing with this deal. Any comments on BLD?
No, I mean, there has been a nice increase, and, you know, we've been really going steady, and it seems to increase as we continue to go. And the premiums for Gold Eagles has actually stayed stable. They didn't go up as much as the silver did. And heading into break, we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on the nature. Everybody wants to
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter and blog. We're not going to have a blog today, but we'll have the newsletter next week. And are you there, Todd, or someone there?
I'm right here. I'm right here. Can you hear me
back now?
I'm here.
I can hear you.
All right, great. And that's what I had to do. See, Todd is a great producer. He figured it out and told me what to do, and here we are. Golly.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it without Todd.
He's great, and technology is...
Hey, I've got an article here that's... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the U.S. car sales are at recessionary levels.
Oh, yes.
As we see inflation, rising interest rate concerns. So many May auto sales were sour with shortages, and there were some other snags. They dipped below the annualized 13 million vehicles in May, prompting analysts at the RBC to say that they're at recessionary levels. So, do you think we're in a recession now? Could we really? Maybe we never really came out of the one back then in 2020 when we were only in one. They told us for 2-3 months, and we came right out of that one.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Let me interrupt you. Go ahead.
The May U.S. light vehicle seasonally adjusted annualized rate came in at 12.8 million vehicles. Now, all your analysts are going to say, well, May had 3 fewer sales day. If you're going to buy a car, you're going to buy a car. I don't think 3 sales day is going to have that big of an impact. But, again, higher rates, higher gasoline prices, it's going to put a damper on everything, Butch.
It is, and it is, and my son does sell cars for a living. He said the difference is a lot between this time last year and now. It's a huge amount of difference. Huge amount of difference. So, yeah, and he sells cars. He knows.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this article here by Michael Snyder I thought was very interesting. Well, it's a little bit lengthy, but I think it's worth the read if you don't mind me reading it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Not even the elite are openly admitting that America is facing an absolutely enormous... Now even the elite are openly admitting that America is facing an absolutely enormous economic crisis. Now, folks, pay attention, because this is not coming from little old me, little Melody. It's coming from people that J.P. Morgan and others. Not too long ago, the elite were trying to put a happy face on our growing economic problems. It was obvious that things were trending in a very alarming direction, but they kept assuring us that any bumps in the road were just temporary and that a new golden age of prosperity was just around the corner. Needless to say, they were dead wrong. And now some of them are publicly admitting the truth. For example, J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon just publicly stated that an economic hurricane is rapidly approaching. Jamie Dimon is no meteorologist, but J.P. Morgan Chase CEO is predicting an economic hurricane called by the war in Ukraine, rising inflation pressures, and interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve. Right now it's kind of sunny. Things are doing fine. Everyone thinks the Fed can handle this. Dobbin said at the Bernstein conference that hurricane is right out there down the road coming our way. J.P. Morgan Chase is one of the most important financial institutions in the entire world. So it is really a big thing for Diamond to make a statement like this. Of course, he is right on target. An economic hurricane is coming, and it's going to be far more horrible than most Americans could possibly imagine right now. And I agree with that. I think it's going to be beyond our imagination. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen also just said something that's making a lot of headlines. Last year, she insisted that high inflation would just be transitory. But now she's openly admitting that she was wrong. I was wrong then about the path inflation would take. As I mentioned, there have been unanticipated and large shocks to the economy that I, at the time, didn't fully understand. I didn't exactly surprised that she turned out to be completely wrong about high inflation being transitory. We knew that she was wrong when she said it. But I'll give her credit for public admitting a mistake. Me and Washington will never do such a thing under any circumstances. At this point, it should be obvious to everyone that we are in the midst of an absolutely horrifying inflation crisis. On Wednesday, the average price of a gallon of gas in the United States jumped another nickel to 4.67. But the real story is the crazy prices that we are starting to see out on the West Coast. For instance, the one gas station in Los Angeles now charging more than $8 a gallon for regular gasoline. A Chevron station in downtown Los Angeles on the corner of Alameda Street and Caesar E. Chavez Avenue is charging customers over $8 per gallon gasoline, causing some locals to complain about price gouging, KTTV Los Angeles reported on Tuesday. In a statement to KTTV, Chevron pointed out that the majority of California branded stations are independently owned and that unique factors are contributing to gas prices in the Golden State. How soon will we see someone break the $10 a gallon threshold? Mel, that's 2 years ago. That'd be unthinkable, wouldn't it? They didn't even think about $10 a gallon gas. That was just unthinkable 2 years ago, wouldn't it? And they're talking about
when we had, $4 and some cents gasoline, you know, how long ago? We never thought it was going to go to $10.
No.
We never thought it would go to $10. No. I mean, we knew it could go higher than four. We were talking about seven, six, seven, and eight, maybe.
And but we're there
wasn't
now.
Considered.
We're there now. Some states. Yep. Will it be by the end of summer be $10? In some cities, the price of a gallon of gasoline is already higher than the hourly minimum wage. That is nuts. Of course, diesel prices have been rising even faster, and this is putting a tremendous amount of financial strain on America's farmers. If you doubt this, just check out what Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller just told Maria Bartomero. When Bartomero noted filling a tractor daily now costs farmers $1,000, twice what it was a year ago, Miller responded, it's through the roof, but it's not just diesel. Folks, it costs a farmer $1,000 a day. Wow. It's fertilizer prices. It's parts. We can't get tractors and new combines. We can't get new tillage equipment, she stressed. So we have to just keep running our older equipment, which we can't get parts for. And so it's just a whole comedy of errors that just multiplies on top of itself. When costs go up for farmers, they inevitably get passed on to consumers. I'll make a comment or two, Melody. You see advertising TV all the time about buy the whole house generator. I'm trying to think the one that's real popular, Generac. You see that advertised all the time.
Right.
They're getting hard to get. They're like months out delivering, seems like. So, and we've already been seeing food prices spike dramatically, but just check out these numbers from April. Now, folks, this is April. Food grains, including corn and wheat, went up 2.8% for the front month and 45% compared to a year ago. Now, we said it was up 2.8% for the month. That's not bad. But 45% from a year ago, almost 50% higher than it was a year ago, folks, think about that. 2% a month doesn't sound like a lot, but multiplied a few months. Feed grain prices increased 7.8% from the prior month and 33% from a year ago. Feed grain, of course, is what puts meat on the table. The poultry and egg index jumped 22% from March and 94% from a year earlier. That's almost 100% increase, Mel. Is that right?
Right.
But people think about that. I just read about a turkey. And their prices, we're seeing, but it's not happening overnight here, sneaking up a little bit at a time. The April market egg price at $2.21 per dozen is 81 cents higher than March and $1.64 higher than April 2021. Now, let me repeat that. Eggs are $1.64 per dozen higher than they were in 2021. The price of chickens raised for meat at $1.05 a pound is 15.3 cents higher than it was in March and 49.7 cents higher than a year ago at 95.3 cents per pound. The April turkey price is 2.5 cents higher than the previous month and 18.5 cents higher than April in 2021. Milk prices climbed 4.12% in April and are up 47% compared with a year earlier. And in the entire history of our nation, we've never seen anything like this. So, folks, they keep saying, well, it's under control. It's not that bad. Well, it only went up 8% last month. Like, it's no big deal. But they don't tell you the figures from a year ago. This is huge. But as I keep warning my readers, this is just the beginning. In fact, one prominent Texas farmer is warning that food prices are going to double. People don't realize what's fixing to hit them, said farmer Lynn Bugsy Allen. They think it's tough right now. You give it to October, food prices are going to double. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what it will do to our country if food prices double from their already extremely inflated levels? People will go absolutely bananas. But this is exactly the type of scenario that I have been warning about for years. Eventually, food will become such a prime target for thieves that we will actually see armed guards escorting grocery store delivery trucks. And folks, that's kind of two years ago they had trouble with trucks being hijacked on the highway. And civil unrest will erupt all over the planet as millions upon millions of poor people get hungrier and hungrier. Unfortunately, even though so many are now sounding the alarm, the vast majority of the population still has no idea what is coming our way. I know that's powerful, and I know that's hard to swallow. But Melly, this gentleman finally told the truth of something. We're seeing food prices going up as high as 100% in some items since last year.
Yeah.
The news isn't saying anything about that. They're not saying anything, oh, gee, look at that. I mean, from last year.
No, it's
they don't
all compare
from last
fault.
Year.
It's all Putin's fault.
Of course. And if people just stop and just think, the war's been going on for about, 2 months? 3 months?
100 days.
Yeah, so 3 months. What was there inflation, folks, before the war started? Yes, it was growing rapidly. This really may have spiked a little bit, but it was well on its way to being what it is right now. We're talking about increases of some stuff for 97%. Don't tell me you're not feeling that. Unless you're really rich. You're like Melody or something, but I'm not. So.
Well, Ash, yeah, but you know what? This was out by Bloomberg. One-third of Americans earning at least $250,000 annually say they are living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, I covered that Monday. Wednesday. That was absolutely, that's hard to fathom. You know, most people don't make a third of that a year. A lot of people don't make a third of that a year. So
now, and it is important to note that, you know, a lot of that does go into their homes and so forth and whatnot. But, I mean, they're still having, you know, they don't have anything left over. It's amazing. How can you make $250,000 and not have anything left over? Because boats, you got all the toys,
I guess most of us will never learn that you don't have to spend all you make. You can save some a little
bit. That's what they condition people to do.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It truly is. It's sad, but that's where we're headed. But with this inflation scale I just read, it's only getting started, people. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to get you upset, but I'm warning you that you better prepare yourself. Now, I am not a prophet, but I'm telling you that this article is right on, and it could be worse than what he thinks even. There are things happening behind the scenes that I'm not going to talk about on the radio because I really can't prove. I just have people call me from different sources that work in certain areas and said we're going to see things happen no later than this fall that people are not going to believe when it comes to different situations. It's bad now, Melody, that said Musk feels super bad about the economy. He needs to cut 10% of Tesla jobs. Elon Musk is going to cut off 10% because he says he has a super bad feeling about the economy. and needs to cut 10% of the jobs at the electric car maker. He said in an email to executives seen by Reuters. The message sent on Thursday, entitled Pause All Hiring Worldwide, came 2 days after Billionaire told the staff to return to the workplace or leave, and adds to a growing chorus of warnings from business leaders around the risk of recession. So Elon Musk is getting concerned. I don't know why. I don't think we can break him. But Millie, think about that. These are people that Diamond and Musk are seeing things happen. Shouldn't we pay attention?
I think we should, you know. And, you know, it's, I don't know why we hang on to every word. But we have to pay attention because they do say things and they do believe these things. I don't think they really care about whether it happens. Don't care. You know, most likely they want to do a prediction just to see that they're right.
Well, you know, you have people like Snyder, though, actually putting figures out where, like, eggs raised 94% in a year. I mean, those are actual figures.
Those are staggering numbers.
But I think last year, you told them that prices are going to increase quite a bit. I'm sure you did. I was there with you. And I don't know if Tom get this now, but oil execs cash out like crazy while gas prices soak Americans. Gas prices skyrocketed to record highs, forcing some families to choose between filling their tank and putting food on the table. But for the oil execs whose stock holdings have soared, these are happy days, and some of them are cashing in their shares at unusually high rates. Among our four senior executives that publicly traded PBF Energy, for instance, including the chief financial officer and general counsel, none had previously sold their portions of the oil company's shares except to satisfy taxes or the cost of exercising their stock. According to public filings, the last 3 months they have collectively dumped more than $9 million of it. For the oil execs Paul Davis, Teresa Canty, Thomas O'Connor, and Eric Young, it's a lucrative time to offload shares. PBF stock has skyrocketed 145% so far this year, riding a broader industry uptick fueled in part of the resurging demand, inflation, and the war in Ukraine. Oh, my gosh, 145% uptick. Ain't no wonder they're happy.
The rich always get their money first.
I don't mind somebody making money, but I do when they're getting it off the backs of people who can't afford to pay it, and they're getting a 145% increase. They need a profit, but Melanie, that's more than gouging. That's robbery.
Well, how do we fix it? How do we stop them?
I don't know.
How do we stop it?
The only way you could stop it is to everybody just stop doing anything, but that ain't going to happen. They did in Poland years ago.
We're going to stop and go into a break. Yep, we'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, and talking about the, you know, the executives, oil executives, how they're cashing out as we're paying higher and higher gas prices, and I'm not sure what the solution is. The solution, of course, wouldn't, you know, what I would say, Butch, is get them off the government welfare first, eliminate all their subsidies, the commodities exchange, you know, I mean, that's how you stop the higher prices on oil. We had, you know, these companies. I mean, when was the last time I was listening to a program where they're saying, well, hey, we can pump all the oil that we need, but we can't refine it. Refineries haven't been built, new ones.
That's true.
They can't keep up. They can't produce. Yes.
Well,
this is
again,
a country that is so old and out of date and just so fragile to collapse.
It is. It from being something so robust, so powerful, and even up to the 50s, and even into the 60s, we were still leading the world in so many different things. But that has changed so quickly. But the people would unite and make a demand and say, we're not going to drive another mile. We're not going to fix a whole another truckload of food until you all do something, until something's done about this. Maybe we can change it, but I don't think it's going to happen because you can't get people to agree on anything in mass.
Because all the people in D.C. get a paycheck from them.
Sure. Absolutely. That's a huge part of the problem.
Yeah.
And this is this next article. I debate about copying it off, but there's no point in lying what's happening or trying to cover up on it. What we're seeing now, the unrest is happening around the world, and it started here in this country, folks. I just read to you from Schiff's article. They may have started guarding food trucks. May put security guards in, well, they put security guards in stores already. It doesn't do a lot of good. May start putting them in grocery stores. I don't know, folks. I don't know. But when people get hungry and get desperate, they do desperate things. More than half Republicans says U.S. seems headed towards another civil war in the near future. I didn't say that. They said it. A new poll shows that 44% of Americans believe the nation, I said 44% of Americans, believe the nation is head towards another civil war, with the majority of Republicans believing it will happen. The data comes in a new poll by the Southern Poverty Law Center, which also found support for the Great Replacement Theory, referenced by the shooter who opened fire in the Buffalo supermarket last month. A total of 44% agree with the statement that the nation seems headed toward a civil war in the near future, according to the poll. That includes 53% of Republicans and 39%, folks, of Democrats. The poll by the group, and Toshin Research came in that late April before the horrific mass shooting in Buffalo, where the assailant's digital posties were filed with conspiratorial and racist ramblings. In another concerning statistic, about 1 in 5 said they at least somewhat approved of assassinating a politician whom they believed was harming the country or democracy. Wow. Mm-mm. A year after a mob of Donald Trump and supporters breached the police barricades at the Capitol, Republicans were more likely to agree that some violence may be necessary to get the country back on track. The figure included 40% of Democratic, the figure included 44% of young Democratic men and 40% of young Republican women, the Washington Times reports. Even the women are getting involved. I don't want to see this happen. But Dimitri Dubin prophesied that back in the 80s and 90s, this is going to happen before we get invaded. So I don't know. I'm just telling folks what is out there in the wind. And I think about anybody can sense the unrest, the unease. Maybe not so much where you live. If you live out in the country like I do, the only thing right here that bothers me sometimes is my dog barking. But you can sense the unease in the atmosphere of the whole nation. So I don't know. Melody, comments on that?
No.
I don't like talking about these things, but not talking about it doesn't mean it goes away. So let's look at the facts and try to prepare as best we can. I'm telling you, people, something's got to give. Something has got to give. This kind of stress and strain will not go on forever without something happening to either ease it or blow it up. It's going to happen. But you know, you're talking about currencies and digital currencies, different things. Credit unions and banking groups warned of devastating consequences of U.S. central bank digital currency. Now, we talked about this a while back. The bank wants to do digital, but they're saying let's not do that. Credit union and banking trade groups have released a joint letter to the chair and ranking member of the House Financial Service Committee warning of devastating consequences if the Federal Reserve moves forward with the central bank digital currency. The letter was sent on May 25th, one day before the committee convened a hearing on digital assets and the future of finance, examining the benefits and risks of U.S. central bank digital currency. That hearing took the testimony from only one witness, Lal Brainard, the vice chair of the Federal Reserve. The fact that credit unions, which frequently serve unionized labor, join with banking trade groups to sign off on the letter, lends credibility to the devastating consequences the letter enumerates of the central bank digital currency. So, yeah, thank God. Oh, I can say with that. They're seeing something, maybe. I mean, the ones that we thought were going to back it actually seeing troubles with it. Maybe we better pay attention. What do you think, Melody?
Well, I am. I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. Well,
there will be a test. but you know, when you see the financial institutions themselves warning that we don't get on that path, maybe we should look at it and see before we get too excited and make the wrong move. I don't know whether you can trust them or not. I'm not saying that, but they're concerned. And back to pushing Putin again. What is HIMARS, H-I-M-A-R-S? What is HIMARS? The advanced rocket system U.S. is sending Ukraine.
I know.
White House officials have confirmed that the United States will send M142 high-mobility artillery rocket systems, also known as HIMARS, to war-torn Ukraine. The medium-range rocket systems have long topped the list of weapons requests by Kyiv as fighting against Russian forces has concentrated in the eastern regions of the country. The U.S. officials confirmed the systems will be part of a $700 million security assistance package to Ukraine that will also include helicopters, Javelin anti-tank weapon systems, tactical vehicles, spare parts, and more. In an op-ed in New York Times on Tuesday, Biden wrote that the U.S. will provide the Ukrainians with more advanced rocket systems and munitions that will enable them to more precisely strike key targets on the battlefield in Ukraine, although it did not name systems by name. He said the weapons are meant to help Ukraine fight on the battlefield and be in the strongest possible position at the negotiating table. The military package, which is expected to be officially announced on Wednesday, will be the 11th provided by the U.S. to Ukraine since Russian invasion began on February 24th. And in total, the U.S. provided $4.5 billion in military assistance since invasion, including howitzers approved in April, the most powerful artillery provided prior to the HIMARS.
Didn't he once say that he wouldn't send any long range?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But he also said he wouldn't send any troops over. I just shared this Wednesday. He's sending special forces in to guard the embassy in Kyiv, just like we did in Vietnam, Melody.
Just like
in Vietnam. Same thing exactly.
They couldn't do it for Benghazi, but they'll do it here.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, somebody wants a war. It's hard to imagine, but somebody wants a war. a world war. I know that there's more money in war for the elite than peace time. We know that. Trillions are made off wars. Forget the cost of lives and different things, destruction of property.
Yeah, they don't care
trillions
about lives.
Do what now?
They don't care about lives.
No.
They might say they do, and they'll use lives to, you know, as propaganda, but...
No, they don't care
even
about
Zelensky,
lives.
Zelensky came out and said that Russia has, what, 20% of the country? That's a lot.
Yeah. Well,
and now they're beginning... I also saw comments where now... they're beginning to question why Ukraine wasn't better prepared. It was all by, I mean, that's what they didn't. They didn't want Ukraine to be prepared. You know, the U.S. and wanted in Europe wanted to come, maybe not Europe, but whoever sits behind or stands behind the U.S. wanted to go in there and save them. And try to change the regime in Russia. I don't know. It just makes me nauseous when I think about it.
It does me too. It may be because this is moving things towards a war that no one understands what the consequences can be. It's impossible. I mean, no one can imagine. But this nothing. The Middle East has been somewhat quiet for a while. Well, it's changing. This could be the next big war that grips the entire world. The ongoing war between Israel and Iran across the Middle East come out of the shadows and into the open long ago. But now, on the back of several suspected Israeli attacks inside Iran itself, the deadly contest threatens to escalate, possibly beyond the region. Last week, several quadcopter drones smashed into a suspected Iranian nuclear research and drone facility at Parchin, killing one engineer. Mere days before, the two assassins on motorbikes shot dead an Iranian military colonel in the heart of Tehran. In February, several drones hit an Iranian unmanned aerial vehicle base in the west of the country at Kermanshah. Although never officially taking responsibility, various unstable hints by Israeli officials and media reports have left little doubt as to the provenance of these attacks. This is all part of what the Israeli government, just under the year in power, has come to describe as an octopus doctrine, a new and risky expansion of its campaign against Iran's military and nuclear capabilities. The whole world is unrest, just like Matthew chapter 24 said it'd be. Wars, rumors of wars. King against kingdom, and that's just the way it is. We're seeing it happen, folks. We're seeing an escalation everywhere of unrest, and I do believe equally that there's some things that we don't even consider, especially for our children and grandchildren. I'm old enough now, Melody, if I leave the world, leave the world. But I have grandchildren and a great-grandson. I don't want to see them hurting this, but that's the stakes of the game, is it not?
It is, and really the sad thing, except for probably, you know, your children and grandchildren, so many of them across this country like this system. They don't understand the difference between what a real republic is and how it's supposed to work.
That's right down the
You know,
yeah,
so yeah. They'll accept this new world, and, you know, except for those who have families, like probably most of our listeners have taught their children. But yet I hear every day that there's some children out there that just, think that we're a bunch of kooks.
Well, we have not been a republic for many, many years. Last president I heard mention republic was Truman. But everybody calls democracy. Again, if he was pledged allegiance, you'll see that we're not a democracy. But nonetheless, we've been deceived in believing that. So that's what we are. That's what we are. I'm not going to have time to cover a couple more things here. I ran out of time so quickly. But a gentleman made a commencement speech in a school, and he's talking about Bible principles, and wish all the children would follow the Bible principles, and marry a man, marry a woman, marry a man. And some people in the crowd said they felt like crying because they hurt their feelings so bad. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. That's ridiculous. I mean, I just read it and thought, and said he really got angry because somebody in the crowd applauded. Golly, but anyway, he hurt your feelings, poor thing.
Aww.
Here's a good news story. We got time for it. Let's do it.
You got Austin, it. Go for it.
An Austin police officer went above and beyond his call of duty for a struggling family in central West Austin. According to a post by the Austin Police Department, Officer Riley received an alert about a young boy walking alone in a parking lot. Riley approached the boy and learned that he walked to the corner store alone, was getting snacks for a younger sibling. The officer gave the young boy a ride home out of concern for his safety. When he reached the boy's home, he learned that the family is going through difficult financial times. After giving the kid some safety advice, Riley went to the HEB and bought a cart full of groceries and snacks that the boys could eat without turning on their gas stove. He also got food stuff that their parents could cook for them. Please join us in commending Officer Riley for helping us a family in need, the department wrote. He showed true heart with this act of kindness and just one example of how our officers work to make Austin a safe community. These acts of kindness by our police officers reassure us that they have our best interest in heart always. And that after what happened in Uvalde, we know that they're not all what they should be, obviously. Waiting for a vest while the kid's inside being killed. But this officer saw something and did something. That's what good police officers do. They're not there always to harass and harangue and arrest. They can be there to put out a hand and say, hey, I'm your servant. And that's what they're supposed to be, folks, our servants, not our gods. But this police officer named Riley stretched out his hand and said, this little boy needs help, his family needs help, and he did his part as a man of moral character. I know it's getting scarcer, folks, in this country, but there's still some out there. Just take time to appreciate it. Every week I want to tell you, take time to love the ones you're with and take time to appreciate who you're with, because they may not be here tomorrow. That's very important. That's very important. Show them you love them by how you treat them, by how you talk to them. Just smile at them and say hello and see what happens. You might be surprised at the friends you'll make with a smile. And Melody, by that time, that's it for me today.
All right. There is a song like that out there that says, love the one you're with. Love
that's
the
right.
one you're
well,
with.
Yeah. I didn't quite mean that way, but yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Well, I didn't mean it that way either.
That song wasn't exactly like, well, okay, all right, okay.
Anyway, good time to leave. We'll be back on Monday. So until then, folks, be safe out there. Good night and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.